Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
The Senate will come to order.
Are you ready?
Yeah!
I want to know, is everybody ready?
Yeah!
All right, here we go. Everybody, get on up and do your stuff. Did you hear what I say? I said everybody, get on up and do your stuff. You better get up. You got to be tough when you do your stuff.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Congress College. Boy, I hope you're having a great week or had a great week, I should say. Thanks again in advance for spending 30 minutes with me on Congress College, where you get to hear, well, if you guessed it, you're right. You get to hear all about Congress. My name is Elizabeth Crist. I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes. And again, on Congress College, where we air twice weekly a show that allows you to really learn about Congress. On the Monday show, this is when Congress is in session. Monday, we typically outline the week when we do the show. And that means we talk about what actually will be coming up in the Senate of the United States and in the House of Representatives. And then on the Friday show, which of course is the show you're listening to right now, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, when Congress is in session, this is when we recap the week and we talk about what actually got done. What did the Senate of the United States end up debating and passing? How about the House of Representatives? Did they do what they said they were going to do? Were you pleased with what your member of Congress did for the week? You know, I say this all the time. We have the greatest representative government in the world, bar none. Yes, we've got warts. Yes, we've got problems. We got a lot of problems right now. But honestly, we've got the best government system in the world. I always challenge people, tell me a better one. Let me debate you on whether it's Germany or France or China, because I can debate pretty well and tell you that we do have the greatest representative government. But it only works really well if you and I know what's going on. If you and I have a general idea of what our representatives are saying and doing on our behalf. That's one of the reasons I do the show. Another reason is to familiarize folks with the free website, gradegov.com. And of course, gradegov.com lets you grade a member of Congress. How about your member of Congress? What would you give him or her? Would you give her a B? Maybe a D? Of course, when I'm talking about gradegov.com, I'm talking about giving grades just like the grades we got in school, the A, B, C, D, or F. And then once you figure out who you want to grade, Once you figure out what grade you want to give, it's not auto-prompt you just to write a letter explaining why you gave the grade. It auto-prompts the letters, it adds the so-and-so, all the proper salutations, the date, et cetera, et cetera. I gave you a B today, and then you have to finish why. I always urge people to check your spelling because I am a terrible speller. And then once you click send, you've just graded a member of Congress. And you've written them a letter, and folks, they do see it. They do pop over to gradebook.com to see what grade they're getting. You know, aren't they always worried about what we are thinking about them? Aren't they always in a sort of perpetual popularity contest, at least in their minds they are? What better way for them to figure out what their constituents think of them than to pop over to gradebook.com and take a peek? So tell your friends, tell your families. Heck, tell your foes about gradegov.com. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. All right, that's done with the housekeeping. Let's get on with the show. You know, I talked a little bit about Donald Trump railing against D.C. Well, he's doing a lot of that, but D.C.'s railing back a little bit. They have for a while. We're going to listen to a quick audio, but let me get going on something else real quick before we go there. President Obama, he's become Hillary Clinton's number one sort of, if you want to say, campaigner. He's recorded a ton, they say a remarkable amount, of personalized television commercials for her, but also for down ballot Democrats. I watched one here in Florida for Patrick Murphy, who's the Democratic candidate running for the United States Senator against Marco Rubio. Interestingly enough, Barack Obama recorded it in Spanish. So Barack Obama's done a number of these personalized television commercials, and they're going out in the next 2 weeks. This is what he says. See if you think this might hurt him. I'm quoting, "I will not be on the ballot, but everything I've done is going to be on the ballot." Wow. Think about that. Remember what happened in 2014? And really in 2010, almost all congressional Democrats didn't want him anywhere around. They wanted his money. Remember that? They wanted him to raise money. They wanted him to stump for them, but they didn't want to be seen on a stage with him. They didn't want that proverbial hug, like almost called him Chris Christie. Charlie Crist, former governor of Florida, was famously sort of crucified for once he accepted the stimulus money as governor of the state of Florida. He walked across the stage and hugged President Obama, and that was sort of the hug seen all across Florida because it helped defeat him and end his career. So that was not that unusual. You saw many, almost all congressional Democrats running from President Obama in 2010 and 2014. Sure, they wanted his money, but they sure didn't want him on the same stage. Now they're wanting campaign commercials being aired by him. Five Senate candidates are getting TV commercials. As I said, Patrick Murphy, Deborah Ross in North Carolina, Katie McGinty, who's running against Pat Toomey, the senator from Pennsylvania, the Republican senator from Pennsylvania. Tammy Duckworth is running in Illinois against Mark Kirk. He's doing lots of radio too. Listen to this for just a minute. This is, I don't know if this will kind of get you going a little bit. It did me. This is President Obama on the stump talking about Donald Trump. This was yesterday. It's a little over a minute. Take a listen and then let me just vent for a minute. Here you go.
I have never seen in my lifetime or in modern political history any presidential candidate trying to discredit the elections and the election process before votes have even taken place. It's unprecedented. You start whining before the game's even over? If whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else, then you don't have what it takes to be in this job. Because there are a lot of times when things don't go our way or my way. That's okay. You fight through it. You work through it. And so I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
Wow. Stop whining, Mr. Trump. Thank you, Barack Obama. Thank you, President Obama. I can't almost believe what I'm saying. So let me get this straight. The White House blame game, the 4 years, 6 years, really almost 8 years of our president, who almost can't make it all the way through a speech without blaming either Congress or President Bush. I mean, I pulled up the blame game of this president, and it's page after page after page after page. Obama blames Bush for the lack of fiscal discipline, April 2001. Obama blames Bush and Congress for putting off tough decisions, August 2010. Obama blames Bush for tax cuts, June 2010. Obama blames Bush for deficit, June 2010. Obama blames Bush for overall standing of American economy, April of 10. Obama blames Bush for deficits, February of 10. Bush for regulation policies, January of 10. Bush for overall standing in the economy, April of 10. Bush in Congress on deficits, February of 10. Bush for regulatory policies, January of 10. Bush for overall economy again, September of 09. Bush for stifling unions, September of 09, Bush for prescription drug bill, August of 09, Bush for jobs, July of 2009, blames Bush for a failure to recognize Europe's role in the world, April of 2009, Bush for deficits, February of 2009, on and on and on and on and on. It'll drive you crazy. And this guy says, quit whining. I it's hard to keep a straight face at that point. It really is. But going back to the campaign trail, here's what bothers me a little bit, folks. Remember back in the spring when Donald Trump was the heir apparent, he was going to be the nominee, and Hillary Clinton was clear it was going to be the nominee after the primary season. That's when you dial for dollars if you're the presidential candidate. That's when you pick up the phone, call the big donors. Because people at that point are on fire for you. This is the most excited almost they ever get. Have you ever met a new Christian? Have you ever met somebody that just gave their heart to Christ? They're on fire for the Lord. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's sometimes a lot of these big donors are right at this time. So that's when you do the dialing for dollars. That's when you do the majority of it. Hillary Clinton was doing it like crazy, racking up the money. And I know I talked to folks on this show on Andrea Shea King Show about how Donald Trump just was not doing it. He didn't want to make the phone calls. He didn't want to ask the big donors. He didn't want to say, you know, I need your support, but I need your money. But so do the down races. Can you bundle? Can you make a big contribution? Can you stroke a big check? He didn't want to do it. And he said, in part because I've always been on the other end of those calls. And it was awkward for him. He didn't want to make them. At that point, I remember him saying, well, I'll just self-fund. And I remember screaming, oh my gosh, no, buddy, this is not just about your race. Well, here's the deal. The Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee has $19 million to sprinkle around in these last 2 weeks. Hillary is going to sprinkle around $6 million in these last 2 or 3 weeks or whatever's left, 18 days. That's where a lot of that money has come from, folks. That's where a lot of that money has come from. I don't know if we've got it. I honestly don't know the answer to that. I hope and pray that the Republicans have enough to sprinkle around, because this is when you do it. You raise it in the spring and you spend it primarily, a lot of it, especially when you've got a candidate, whether it's a governor running for re-election or challenging, and you've got a Senate race or a House race, and they say, gosh, if I just have that $500,000 and I could do this last ad buy, I know it would put me over the top. And the presidential candidate gives you the money. Man, are you indebted to that presidential candidate, especially if he or she wins? That's the first thing they're going to do when they need your vote, is to remind you, remember that last ad buy that sort of got you over the top? Well, you can thank me now by helping me on this bill, on this piece of legislation. It works that way, folks. I don't know if that sounds disgusting, that is just politics 101. Oh, let me say hi to the folks in the chat room. I'm going to say hi to John specifically. Hey, Bob, John knows this. Krupe knows this. This is politics 101. Well, let me go to a poll. I'm not big on polls, but Investors Business Daily, I typically like them. They use a Technometric Market Intelligence, TIPP, to make their polls accurate, and they have been very accurate in recent presidential elections. As of 6 o'clock this morning, they've got Trump 41, Clinton 40. Now, let me say this. Polls are going to get a lot closer. In the next 18 days, polls are going to get really, really close. Here's part of the reason why. Pollsters don't want to be wrong. They don't want to be wrong because they can charge a lot of money for their polls. Remember the story of Kellyanne, Donald Trump's new campaign addition? Kellyanne was hired almost 2 years ago by Donald Trump, and he asked her to commission a poll to see if he thought, or they thought, the results would he be a good candidate to run for president. Obviously, she gave him the right answer. She gave him an answer that he thought was correct. But he got really mad at her because she charged too much, and they were sort of at odds with each other for a while. He said she charged too much. Well, that's the nature of polling. A poll is a lot of money. So I'm telling you all of that to say they don't want to be wrong. They really and truly don't want to be wrong. So they're going to try to get it right in the next 18 days. So you're going to see them probably bring the polls, bring the results really narrowing very, very close. It'll be within the margin of error. And the margin of error likely will get wider. It won't be 1 or 2 points. It'll be 3 or 4. And they'll probably keep Hillary at the winning end of the poll so that if Donald Trump wins by 3 or 4, they can say, well, it still was in the margin of error. They could still say that. We'll have to watch that. And I know we'll be talking about it on Congress College. All right, I wanted to play this for you. This is a real peek at DC insiders. This is a piece from what's called The Circus. And I'm quoting from, it's a Showtime documentary, The Greatest Political Show on Earth, it talks about. This documentary series pulls back the curtain of the 2016 presidential race, revealing the intense, inspiring, and infuriating stories behind the headlines. It's called The Circus, put on by Showtime. This one features, full disclosure, a good friend, Rick Holt. I worked for him for many, many years. Been around D.C. for, 30 plus years. From Indiana. Is a huge Republican fundraiser. It also has in it Vin Weber, former congressman. Ron Kaufman worked for Bush 41, Daddy 41. Ed Rogers worked for Reagan and Daddy Bush. And Mike Duncan, a former RNC chairman. This is about 3 minutes. Take a listen. The first voice
Everybody
is Rick Holtz.
This table that I know, we've been in every presidential campaign probably since 1980 in various degrees. And in Trump's problem, he doesn't have a compass. You don't know what his compass is.
And how problematic is that for the future of the party?
I think before it's all over, it's going to be hugely problematic.
I talk to people all the time, as I'm sure everybody around the table does, and they say, why don't you Republicans do something about this guy?
Well, that's Vin Weber.
I'm sorry, this is not the Soviet Union. We can't call a meeting and decide Trump is out.
And we hate that. Benign dictatorship, who's for it? Trump is doing well for one reason. He understands the climate and the culture of America today better than anybody at this table.
That's Ron Kaufman.
How do you feel about the fact the Republican nominee may be someone that none of you know?
Shell-shocked, bewildered. Republicans are hierarchical, respectful of authority. We fall in line. And Trump has interrupted that cycle.
Donald Trump.
That's Ed Rogers.
Thought of him as any kind of political leader until 6 months ago.
He's not articulate. He's not poised. He's not informed. All he has going for him is a lot of votes. Why hasn't any of that hit home? Here we are. Here we are.
They're sitting around a lunch table, by the way, or dinner table, in a restaurant.
I believe he can be stopped. What are you doing or plan to do to stop him?
He's working with Kay.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you doing?
We're working on it. We were effective.
That's a poster. Sorry. I meant to mention that.
None of us know who you're talking about.
Our principal.
Katie Packer.
What's your role in that pack?
Polling. Which is now public record.
Which concerns you more? That he'd lose the general if he were the nominee, or how he'd do as president?
Losing the election. What we're facing is a choice between Hillary and
So
Trump.
What you're saying is vote for the least of two evils.
Do you know for sure Trump would be a better president than Hillary Clinton?
No, but it's a risk that I'm willing to take. If we get off into splitting our party, we can't put it back together. Humpty Dumpty.
That's Mike Duncan, I believe.
That's the great dividing line in that question right there.
Because you care more about it being president.
I'm scared of him as president. I think he's an authoritarian figure. To deport 12 million people, build a wall on the Mexican border, and impose a religious test on people coming into this country is so violative of everything I believe about America and the Republican Party.
I travel around the world a lot, and Trump is a laughingstock. The world, whatever that is at peace with Hillary Clinton.
The next president's going to decide the direction of the Supreme Court for 4 years, at minimum. Do you really want to give it to her? Mrs. Warren will be beating the crap out of here to make sure it's some lefty pinko. So you know that's a fact.
Lefty pinko?
This may be a question.
What does that mean? But you're right.
In the end, that's the question.
I've never voted for a Democrat, I've never voted for anybody other than a Republican for president of the United States. This would not be an easy thing for me.
That's it. It's called The Circus, and that's sort of an insider's lunch table or dinner table talking about they really are worried about Donald Trump. Now, this was made some months ago. Well, that's still the feeling, folks. That's still the feeling. But I think it was Ron Kaufman that said he has a better feeling of the American people, a pulse of the American people. I think that's right. I think that's reflective in his rallies. I think that's reflective in the number of people he gets to his rallies. You know, the mainstream media or the media in general doesn't really ever talk about how many people are out Hillary's rallies. You're talking about low couple of thousands at the most. In some cases, a couple of hundred. And he's in the multi thousands. I can tell you when he's been here in Central Florida, the many times he's been here, and we're going to read a little bit about their schedules in a few minutes. In Ocala, Florida, 7 or 8,000 packed into the Southeastern Livestock Pavilion. It's a concrete floor, folks. Standing shoulder to shoulder, and just as many in the outside trying to get in. 15,000 people a week ago. So I think he does have a pulse of the American people. And I have a feeling they're going to come out for him. Speaking of coming out, we teased the show a little bit about Donald Trump rails against DC. He does. He's talking about things being rigged against him. I think that's why he's getting some of the ratings that he's getting, that the polls aren't dropping. And I also mentioned that Hillary Clinton pales. She just kind of disappears. She's not doing a lot. She's got a lot of surrogates out there for you. I'm going to read her schedule for you. October 21st, she's in Cleveland, Ohio. Get out the vote rally. Also, Cleveland, Ohio, in State College, Pennsylvania, Tim Kaine did something. In Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, the vice president did something. In Orlando, Bill Clinton. But she only did one thing on the 22nd. You got Pittsburgh. She's in Pittsburgh. That's it. You've got Bill Clinton in Panama City. He also goes to Pensacola. You've got another surrogate in Vegas. You've got Miley Cyrus doing something in Fairfax, Virginia. And then on the 23rd, Hillary goes to Charlotte. And then you've got Tim Kaine in Florida. My point is she does one rally a day. Sometimes she skips a day. We're 18 days out, folks. And as I said, that poll was almost neck and neck, 40 to 41. Let me read you Donald Trump's schedule. Friday the 21st, he's in Fletcher, North Carolina at noon. He's in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Donald Trump is at 4 o'clock. He's in Newtown, Pennsylvania. Donald Trump is at 7:30. Saturday, he's in Gettysburg at 11. He's at Virginia Beach at 3 o'clock. He's in Cleveland, Ohio at 7. On Sunday, he's in Naples at 6 o'clock. He's in Tampa at 7. Do you get what I'm saying here, folks? He's all over the place, and she's showing up one time. All right, let me touch on this. We don't have a lot more time, but it's something we need to think about, talk about. It's something that we need to really, really worry about. If you don't get your way in this political system, and the Democrats have figured out how to do this excellently, they're amazing at it. If you don't get your way in this political system, if you're losing in your state legislature, if you don't have the Democrat governor that you wanted with our 31 governors, Republican governors, and hopefully adding to that, with the 12 races that are coming up, you'll see more of this. What do you do? You figure out how to get a state referendum going and you get something on the ballot in your state. You forget about your state legislature. Screw it. I can't get it. They're Republican. I'm a Democrat. So figure out, hire a big firm and figure out how to get your issue as a state referendum and then frame it, spin it in such a lukewarm apple pie way that what voter wouldn't vote for it when they're standing in the polls? They read this mother apple pie Chevrolet great American sounding referendum and say, sure, I'd like that. Here's criminal justice. This is in New Mexico. If you can't afford your bail, New Mexico voters may be able to energize a national movement to reform court fees for lower income Americans. That's in New Mexico. You want to vote for marijuana, medical or recreational, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Florida, Maine, Massachusetts, Montana, Nevada, North Dakota. How about you too old to be a judge? Regarding judicial careers, Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, Pennsylvania. How about education funding? You need more education funding? You want to sock it to the corporations in your state? How about a tax-raising ballot that helps fund education, Oklahoma and Oregon? How about carbon tax? Washington State could be the first state in the nation to pass a carbon tax. That's right. Likely that it'll pass. Well, I shouldn't say that. I guess we'll see. Well, let's just see. How about if your state is cash strapped and you don't have money for transportation? Illinois and New Jersey are prompting a shortage of transportation funds. So they're looking for Illinois and New Jersey voters to say, keep your hands off our transportation funds. How about taxes on services to the poor? Missouri voters can be the first to keep taxes from the poor if you're doing a service. How about payday loans? South Dakota might be getting rid of payday loans. On and on and on. My point is, I could keep reading these on not a million. There's a lot of ballots. There is a lot of ballots. I love this one. November, Colorado could be the first state in the union. I guess they're all stoned as they're voting for this. Could be the first state in the union to move closer to becoming a single payer healthcare. It's very expensive. The state would pay for it. So if you moved into the state, you automatically got healthcare through the state of Colorado. That's true. I don't know if it'll pass, but again, state referendums, pay attention to them, folks. Pay attention to them. Another one in Colorado, the right to die. It could defy the odds and make California the next state to legalize physician-assisted suicides. Amazing, folks. All right, get your paper, get your pencil. We do this at every airing of Congress College. I'm going to read the president's daily schedule for today. Remember, I do this so you know how much your president is working for you. I also do this to encourage you to Google your favorite past president, because I guarantee his schedule is going to read something like 7:30 in the family quarters, 8 o'clock meeting with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, 8:30 presidential daily briefing, 9 o'clock meeting with cabinet secretaries, 9:30 meeting with Senate leaders, 10 o'clock meeting with House Speaker, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, on and on and all day long. The president's schedule for today is nothing. Doesn't have anything on his schedule. You know what they put in the place of the president's schedule? The vice president's schedule. Excuse me. The president does have one thing. He meets with NASA astronaut Scott Kelly at 3:10. 3:10, he meets with NASA astronaut Scott Kelly. But listen what the vice president does. At 9:02, he will participate in a roundtable on cancer. At 10:30, he participates in a round. At 3:30, he delivers remarks at Hillary Clinton for America campaign. Vice president delivers remarks Northeastern Pennsylvania dealing with cancer at 6 o'clock. That's it, folks. That's it for our president. And you know what? That's it for me. Thank you so much for listening to Congress College this Friday. I'm going to leave you with a good one. I love it. It's the Eagles Lion Eyes. This is in honor of Hillary Clinton and Lion Hillary. There you go. I'm helping out Donald Trump here. Enjoy the Eagles song. Have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed weekend. Thanks for listening. And I'll talk to you on Monday, so stay tuned. City girls just seem to find out early how to open doors with just a smile. A rich old man, and she won't have to worry. She dress up all in lace, go in style. Late at night, the big old house gets lonely. I guess
its cries. And it breaks her heart to think her love is only given to old man with hands as cold as ice. So she tells him she must.